We are almost to the end of the third chapter. And Bhagavan Sri Krishna tells us in this chapter, which is Karma Yoga, the path of right action, that do your duty, whatever station you have been placed in, do your duty, without likes and dislikes. Whatever I'm supposed to do, I do it, and without transgressing the limits of dharma, righteousness. In the process of doing my duty, if I have to transgress dharma, then that is prohibited. And do whatever your duty is. Do not try to copy somebody else's duty. Shreyan swadharmo vigunaha paradharmat svanushtitat. But we always feel, I wish I could do his work, you know, or her work. Her job is so easy. And she has so, things are going so well for that person. And me, I have so many problems. My job is so difficult. But when we step in the other person's shoes, we realize that A, to get to that state, this person worked very hard where they were able to improve their life. Secondly, nobody's life is full, complete. It's what we see good, but we don't see all the problems that this person has. We only want the good part. We do not want the problems. So they say that everybody's duty, everybody's life is full of problems. So do your work, do it to the best of your ability without likes and dislikes. And then Arjuna asks, what is the biggest obstacle? What is the biggest problem? Why am I not able to do my duty? And Bhagavan answers, Rag Esha. Krodha Esha. So he says desire is the biggest enemy, and then desire has all the children. We talked about anger, greed, jealousy, arrogance, selfishness, all those. And desire veils our wisdom. We'll talk a little more about that today, how desire covers our wisdom. And for whom is this desire a problem? For the ignorant person, no problem. Desire, theek hai, aane do, let it come. The more I have, the more I have, more I want. And for the enlightened master, again, desire is not a problem. He or she is not affected. It is for people like you and me who have studied the Bhagavad Gita a little bit. So now we know desire is not that good, but then we are not able to overcome it. So the problem is for people like us. And that's why the Bhagavad Gita is meant for people like us who are on the spiritual path. Today we will continue study of desire. Where does desire hide? Because Arjuna asked Sri Krishna, because Sri Krishna says, Nitya Varina, it is an enemy. And Arjuna is a soldier. He says, enemy, I have to destroy the enemy. Show me where the enemy lives, he asked Bhagavan. And I will destroy this enemy called desire. So Bhagavan tells us, where does this desire hide and how can we find it? Verse number 40. Indriyani mano buddhihi.
Indriyani mano buddhihi.
Asya adhisthanam uchyate.
Asya adhisthanam uchyate.
Etair vimohayat yeshah.
Etair vimohayat yeshah.
Jnanam avritya dehinam. So, where are the three places where the desire hides? Where does it stay? Indriyani, the sense organs. Mana, the mind. And buddhi, the intellect. Asya. Asya means of this desire. Adhishthana. Adhishthana means the seat where we sit. So where does desire sit? Desire sits in our sense organs, our mind and intellect. Uchyate. It is said, that's what Bhagavan never claims that this is my knowledge or I. Or he always quotes rishis and the great masters of the past who have given this knowledge. And Bhagavan says, I am just taking the essence of the Upanishads and giving it to you, but this is all knowledge. And ultimately we know Upanishad came from the higher rishis in their meditation heard this, and so the knowledge is the highest knowledge. So asya adhisthanam uchyate etair, with this vimohyati, vimohyati, mohyati means deludes, vimohyati means visheshana mohyati, completely deludes. Who? Esha, this desire totally deludes us. How? Jnanam avritya. Avritya means covering. Jnana means the wisdom, the knowledge, covering the knowledge. Dehinam. Dehinam means the embodied soul. We are all dehis because we live in this deha, in this body. So one who lives in the body is called a dehi. And so this jiva, this mind, intellect and vasana, this package, who I am, live in this body. That's why we are called dehi, and this body is called deha. Why is it called deha? Dahati iti deha, that which burns. At the end, the end result of everybody is burning. Or for, of course, Christians and, you know, Muslims, they bury, but whatever the point is, that the body ends in dust. So let us see what we mean by senses, mind and intellect. So if I get a desire, I want this. First of all, my eyes want to see. My ears want to hear. Or worst of all, my tongue wants to taste. And that is where half the problem arises. Because I want to eat this, I want this, I like this, I go after this. All the pizza places and the ice cream places and all are thriving because of that 1-2-inch organ called tongue, which rules us completely. So it starts in the senses. And then the mind. Ah, kya maja aaya. It was so nice. It was so much fun. Let us go get it. You remember last time ice cream? Ah, let's go get it. Or whatever I got. Could be $1 million. Wow, now I must get 2 million. So the mind gets caught in the desire, and the intellect wants to repeat the experience. Intellect says, yes, in the past we have done it. So let us repeat the experience. So the intellect gives orders to the mind, and then the mind gives orders to the body. For those who are new, this BMI chart is, that is who I think I am, this body, mind and intellect. With the body, I perceive the objects. With the mind, I feel the emotions. And with the intellect, I think the thoughts. And V represents vasanas, my desires, my tendencies. And Om represents God's presence, the divinity within us. And all of us are that divinity. That's what the Bhagavad Gita tells. In the second chapter, Bhagavan starts with that. Na jayate mriyate va kadachit. None of us is ever born. None of us ever dies. The birth and death is of the body. So this desire, it deludes us, as we said, because my mind is so filled with this desire. I must have it. And then I don't care what obstacles come, whom I have to step over, whom I have to cheat, how many people I have to compete with and I have to overcome. And my thinking is totally clouded. All my discrimination is clouded. And that's what it says. Esha vimohayati. It deludes us. My whole wisdom is ends. And what to do? We'll talk in more detail in the next verse. But Bhagavan says, avoid it. Avoid things that bind you. It's not that you walk through life, you know, eyes closed, ear. We cannot do that. We have to function. But even if you see an object, do not let your mind start dwelling upon it. Do not let your intellect get clouded. So avoid it, because ultimately the job of the intellect is to serve, to help the world get better. And our job is, but when we get so caught in the desire, then we are so deluded that we are unable to think wisely and unable to do what is my purpose in life. And there are two purposes we have talked about. One is to serve and one is to realize the truth. So these two purposes get diluted and we waste our time on this earth just chasing after desires. We're not saying that one should not eat or drink or wear good clothes and all, but do not let your mind get so preoccupied with worldly desires that I forget what is my purpose. Why am I here? Talking about purpose, there was this class of philosophy, and so this teacher was asking everybody, he says, if you have only 4 weeks to live, what will you do? If you have only 4 weeks to live, what will you do? The teacher asked the students. So one lady says, well, if I have only 4 weeks to live, I will spread God's word. I will teach people about the Bible and go to every home and give them the message and try to give people the right knowledge. So I will teach people about God, that if I have only 4 weeks to live. Second person, what will you do? He says, if I have only 4 weeks to live, I will serve the world. I will build houses for humanity. I will feed the homeless. So one says, I'll spread the knowledge. Other says, I will serve. So the third person, teacher asks him, what will you do? He says, if I have only 4 weeks to live, I'll go and live in my mother-in-law's house. He says, mother-in-law's house? Why do you want to live in your mother-in-law's house? He says, they will be the longest 4 weeks of my life. Time will not pass. So the same situation, how one person looks at it as a service, and another person looks how I can. So that is called right buddhi and wrong buddhi, the right intellect and the wrong intellect. So the intellect has to be used correctly. So in the next verse, we'll talk a little more about how to use the intellect correctly. It's a very beautiful verse, which is tasmat, therefore. You know, whenever Bhagwan gives some argument, then he says, what is the result of this argument? Tasmat, you know, therefore. So in verse number 41,